welcome to the show, Courtney Christie, from Wine Wolf Foundation, amongst other things. How are you, Courtney?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for having me back for another chat.
Yeah, and thank you for coming back. Obviously, we've spoken before a couple of times. You've spoken with Jill also. But let's just quickly refresh for anyone out there who's listening who hasn't, who wasn't listening to the story. So Wine Wolf Foundation is in memory of a friend of yours and lots of and the gang, Lottie Wolf, who was a viticulturalist who passed in 2018.
That's correct. She was my great friend from Amsterdam. We met in the hills of the Douro Valley doing a vintage for Cristiano Vanzella at Tinta Valdonna Maria, and we became a great friend. She was a passionate, she's actually a sommelier and wine director by original trade in some of the high-end restaurants in Europe. Mm-hmm. Before she got hands-on in the wine industry and developed her passion for making wine, first of all with us in the Douro, and then she travelled all around the world doing vintages, etc., to fulfil that dream, and ended up making wine with Johan Meyer in South Africa in the Swartland, and developed her own brand there, Lottie Wolf Wine, and then we lost her tragically. Very tragically, and a few of us friends, then COVID hit and we couldn't get over to South Africa to continue her brand there. So a couple of us friends banded together in Australia and said, well, let's make the Australian chapter, which was always on the plan for Lottie and I anyway, to make an Australian one. So Wine Wolf Australia, the Australian chapter, was born.
Fantastic. I love the story, and we mentioned it earlier in the show, in the context of, you know, there was a Four Corners story about brands that kind of are made up and pretend to stand for something, but they really don't. They just stand for cheap booze at a discounted price. And so this is an authentic story built from, you know, a foundation, pardon the pun, from a base of real genuine friendship and, you know, in part sadness, but now celebration, I guess, of a life of someone who you all loved so much.
Lottie had this innate ability just to rise everybody's spirits, pick everyone's dreams up, set everyone's souls on fire by her presence, her enthusiasm. And she challenged us in her living time to pursue our dreams, and she was a huge advocate for particularly women in wine, and in some of the roles that she had in sort of slightly old-fashioned Europe, in the very fine wine world, where gentlemen customers might often ask to speak to the boss, and she said, well, in fact, I'm the wine director, sir, and I can advise you accordingly. She always broke those ceilings down and infused her confidence for us to all be brave in pursuing our dreams. It was everybody she met, she inspired. And when she came out here to Australia, I sent her on a tour with some of my great friends to make wine and spend a few weeks during vintage, or a few days at each winery, as it were. So she travelled to with Travis Earth O'Callaghan. She travelled to Dan and Standish and Jason, from who had the Messina brand at the time.
Yeah.
And she went to see Justin McNamee at Samuel's Gorge, and she just was just so passionate about learning and absorbing. And so when it came to getting locked out of South Africa and continuing that project, it just became a natural step for us to start Wine Wolf Australia, to continue something she was passionate about, slightly quirky or different or off-trend varieties, such as, Semillon's. Maybe in the eastern states it's a little bit easier of a sell, but it's not the most famous of the white wines.
Not when you get south and then...
It's the same. She found the same in Europe as well. It's sort of... but we're all massive foodies as well. So we find that Semillon and with some of the foods that we like to cook is such a great pairing. So it was the unique... It was the... the obvious choice for our first Australian wine for her as well.
And so what year was that the first wine was made?
2021 Sauvignon, which, not to toot my own horn, is drinking so well.
I had one the other night and it was stunning, yeah.
It's just coming together and doing what Sauvignon should do, and age in the bottle and great natural acidity and this lemon curd and flavour. It's just, I'm very, very proud of that wine. We're almost onto the 22 now. Mm-hmm. So made from 50-year-old, hand-picked from 50-year-old grapevines in the Barossa Valley and just gently pressed and naturally fermented. It's just delightful. It's a really delightful wine.
Yeah, wow. How can people get it, just while we're on that particular wine that you're going to release? How can people get hold of them? Is the website, has that got a store? I'm just trying to look.
Yes, we're running through the beautiful boys of Svenjoski Wines, svenjoshkiwines.com.au, and there's a tribute page for Lotta.
Spell the surname? So Sven is going to be S-V-E-N.
Joshki, J-O-S-C-H-K-E. Joshki wine.
There we go.
His wines are delightful, by the way, as well, of course.
Where's he based again?
He's in the Barossa. Okay. Yes, the central Barossa. So Lottie actually convinced Sven to not give up his job as an accountant, but pursue his dream to become a winemaker. Lottie finished her journey of that Australian trip I mentioned before with my friends Andrew Marshall and Sven Joshki in Melbourne when Andrew was looking after the Movida restaurants over there. Oh, and Sven said, oh, look, I dream to make my own wine. And she said, you must do it. You absolutely must do it. So Sven sort of semi-downed tools from accountancy, not completely, and came over to the Wild West, also known as the Barossa, and started his own brand, which is now an absolutely delightful wine brand, making some gorgeous wines. And so Lottie is responsible for inspiring Sven to make that step, hence the relationship with Sven in the Wine Wolf Australia project.
Yeah.
He adored Lottie and has very proudly taken over the lion's share of that distribution and licensing and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, which it makes it, it's a hard, I mean, if it's already set up, it's so much easier. And if there's an association, that's a great fit, right? And so, okay, so 2022 is about to land in the next, what, a couple of months or so?
Yes, we're about to roll over to 2022. But I do have some exciting news for what happened in 23.
Yeah. We always like this.
So a little scoop. You can have a little inside scoop. So another of our darling friends, the beautiful Tom Shawbrook, got on board. And I have been not so quietly raking around the Barossa trying to find a patch of Finso, which is another one of Lottie's passion varieties. And we got our hands on a little bit of it in South Africa to make her Finso Grenache blend. But it's the new hip and trendy thing here in Australia. And do you think he can, for love nor money? But Tommy Shawbrook, bless him, came up with a little parcel, actually drafted us off a little bit of his own allocation, because he and Lottie were great friends, and another two souls that became enthusiastically intertwined with their passion and beautiful, being beautiful humans that they are. Mm-hmm. He said, Court, I'm going to donate. The grower actually donated some fruit last year, and Tommy donated his time and his facilities, and we've got two barrels of Finso sitting ready to be bottled any moment. It's this beautiful, vibrant watermelon colour of a wine, and it's just going to be this refreshing little light red, dark rosé, dry as a bone, delicious little burst of naughtiness. It's going to be great. Can't wait to bottle it.
Well, you kind of sell it pretty well, Courtney. It's straight Cinso?
Straight Cinso.
Yep. Wow. It's interesting, we spoke with Peter Fraser from Yangara at the top of the show, and he was talking about a blend that they have with, it's got Grenache and a couple of other bits, but it's also got Cinso in it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I would have been a bit nervous if you told me I was following Pete Fraser at Yangara. Well, holy moly.
Oh, there you go. I didn't, and now you've already started, so don't worry about it.
Now I'm blushing. the new Solidor at Yangara. I live quite close to Yangara. Is just sublime. It's just beautiful.
It sounded really
there the
cool.
other day.
Yeah.
Oh, it's extraordinary. It's done so well. But I digress.
Yes. Well, you have to tell him that you're on the show after him. That sounds really fun. So again, we'll be Sven Joski Wines. We'll be the that'll be the website to go to.
It'll be distributed with Sven Joski, but it'll be with guest winemakers. So I have a mission with some of the aforementioned winemakers that that Lottie did her tour with. I have a concept for the future of the Wine Wall Australia project that we will have guest winemakers, and I mentioned it to Dan Standish at the end of a very, very long lunch, so whether he remembers or not, I'm not sure, but...
Well, you can blame this interview on the podcast.
I
just put you in, Dan.
Just to slot you in and do some, you know, Wine Wolf Australia by these winemakers that Lottie spent some time with that became her friends. And so that's kind of my concept for the future of the wines, to have some guest appearances in Wine Wolf Australian chapter.
Love that. That sounds really fun. It's look, it's a great concept. I'm loving the fact that it's still going, you know, beyond... Well, it started in COVID, really, I guess, didn't it? But it's really continued, and the passion seems to be increasing, if anything. And the willingness of all of those people to pull in from their world what they can to support, you know, the project.
Absolutely, everyone's the growers that have come on board, and my friends, and the beautiful Katie Spain has written about it at any given opportunity to help us as well. And yourselves, I have to say thank you so much for your support. It all means so much. And it's continuing to do what Lottie is doing in real life, and it's drawing great people together to talk about wine, live their best lives and enjoy these moments. And yeah. I'm very proud to be able to do that.
And you know, as your example, you know, dragging accountants out from behind the desk and sticking them in a fermenter and pumping over grapes to get really understand what your choice is all about, and then making some wine eventually.
I actually spoke to Sven this morning to let him know that this interview was going, because he's been an absolute menace to answer his phone. Who'd have thought a winemaker in vintage not answering their phone? And he's actually told me he was busy picking Pedro Jimenez this morning for a little Oloroso project. So he's about to bottle a vermouth that he's been making for the last few years as well, which is extraordinary. It's just got this beautiful orange bergamot sort of flavour. So there's a couple of really exciting things that Sunny's up to as well.
I don't drink vermouth much, or vermouth as they sometimes bring it out. The guys up at in the Yarra Valley, Peyton and Jones, they bring one in from someone that they work with over there, and it's extraordinary, the flavour that comes out of it. It's not the vermouth that your grandma used to have.
It is not, not your granny's vermouth. This has got some incredible flavours, and you should try and hook you up with a bottle once when it's. And it's been bottled. It's extraordinary. It's fire water, though. We have a little nip at the end of our barrel checking tastings, and Lordy, it blows your eyelids open, that's for sure.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about, and we don't have to get into great depth, but the foundation itself, does it actually fund, do the wines kind of, you know, become the fundraiser for this, and then what's done with those funds?
Okay. So it was started with Lottie's South African wines, and the Lottie Wolf Award has been awarded on three separate occasions over the space of 6 years at a function in Amsterdam to a hospitality person or wine person of great enthusiasm that wants to further their studies. So whether it's to a voucher for a trip to do their first vintage in South Africa, or some money towards completing their sommelier studies or their WSET exams.
Yeah.
So it's been awarded to certain people in Amsterdam. So all of their details are on the website.
Yep.
And we hope to emulate that in Australia as well. So first of all, we've got to pay all of our running expenses.
Of course, yeah.
And then that part
of the project is really the living bit, isn't it? That as in the winery and the wine brand. Brand. You know, that's really the key part of it is bringing to life and continuing the vision she had. But along the way, if you can have those little pieces where, as we just use the example, you know, pull someone out of another industry into the wine industry because their passion and they just maybe haven't got enough to just make that leap, you know, and that support, or even if it's discussions with people in the group, you know, around, come on, you must do it. You know, Lottie would be telling you to do it.
That's exactly the meeting that I'm trying to coordinate with Svenny in the middle of vintage with Lottie's family in Amsterdam. Those actual details of how Wine North Australia is going to look, because I want the money from Rachel and the Australian finances and all the massive support to stay for an Australian award and Australian philosophy. So we're right in the middle of discussing what that's going to look like. And should we make some profit from it, we will. I really, really, really want to do it because the hospitality people have been incredible, the listings that we've got and getting behind this wine. So watch this space. Something will happen.
That's good. And in the meantime, we can support you by buying the wine.
Buy the wine, buy it, have a look at the vintage 22. You can get a hold of a little bit of 21 and I recommend that. Put some in your cellar because it's divine. 22 is just coming along beautifully. And then we will let you know when the things are bottled.
Fantastic. Please do. Because it's, love the project. Vintage 24 for you, what is that? Where are you at as far as what tasks you have underway?
Underway, Adelaide Hills, I'm not sure if you've heard from the other winemakers, the tonnages are really, really low, particularly in the white wines. This was not so bad. So because I have quite a lot of I made a little bit more extra volume of the vintage 22, so I've skipped a year or so until that sales have picked up and I've got some money in the kitty from vintage 22 to continue. So we'll be looking at doing another Semillon next year. And potentially another Cinto next year as well. So we've just got to, help me drink and sell the vintage 22 wines. And then we'll be looking at, so we're taking a bit of a gap year this year.
Yeah, that's right, catch
focusing
up.
Focusing on sales and distribution, catch up. And then we'll be back to making, I have been recruited for Tuesday's picking of the Svenjoski Sangiovese, so I'm being used elsewhere, abused by my friends elsewhere to help in their cellar operations. But, we haven't got plans for a vintage 24 for Lottie yet.
That's okay.
But we'll be back for next year.
Yeah, well, we can in the meantime. Yeah, we can, there's plenty of wine we can buy and
indulge
support.
In the 22.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Look, it's fantastic, and thank you for coming on again, and we will continue to follow the story. That sounds like it, from our point of view, from wanting content for 2 hours of talking wine, it's gold for us to hear that these things are coming up because, our listeners are, we're all kind of on a journey together because we hear from winemakers repeatedly over time, and it's really great to see sort of hear that, the updates and follow the journey and follow the story because we often the story starts here and then it evolves. So, yeah, well done. Good
Thank
luck
you very much.
To you and all your friends in the industry for this vintage to finish as well as it seems to have started. Touch wood. But always lovely talking to you, Courtney. Thank you, and
we will continue
to be supportive of that. Wine Wolf.
Thank you very
absolutely.
Much. Thank you so much for your support and helping us get it out there. It's great. We couldn't do it without you.
Yep, pleasure. We definitely happy to help. So, Courtney, enjoy the rest of your Arvo and Tuesday picking. You'll need a couple of beers at the end of that, I'm sure.
Yes, we will. It's all hand-picked stuff. It's actually really tough going out there. And we've got a, all the great juice. And I think it was Dave Guy showed a photo of a brown snake that had shedded in the vine canopy, and the shedded skin's hanging in the canopy yesterday when he was picking. I was like, oh, dear Lord, that's my greatest fear.
That's a little bit. So even though it's 36 degrees, you'll be in gumboots probably.
Gumboots, your hands you're worried about because the brown snakes go up into the canopy to get off the hot ground to have a rest. So are you looking at a vine branch or is that a brown snake tail that you're
Okay, yeah, now that changes your enthusiasm a little bit.
It does. It's, you know, and when you go for the first picks in the morning, and you, I learned this the hard way when I was at Elders and Martins, and the nighttime and the spiders do their webs in the vineyard row, and you're walking up and you just get spiders.
The orb spider.
Those,
it's like nylon that, they are so strong, the webs. Well, you want to send the tractor down first.
Well, yes, that's right. But my, I was just sampling that morning, and my head winemaker was in Richard Langford, the deer thing. It was in absolute hysterics because he stitched me up. He knew exactly what was going to happen. So he's at the end of the row going, God, just nip down that row and get a shoot. And it was absolutely hilarious.
You're completely concentrating on the grapes you need to be picking and looking and evaluating each bunch, and then all of a sudden you run into Mr. Sparta. Excellent.
It's just like an Adam Clamley nightmare.
Now, there would be people who go, I'd so much rather have an orb spider in my face than the brown snake, but then also vice versa. There'd be people
I got him back throughout the vintage because I'm such an animal lover, that there'd be, you know, semi-trailers waiting to dispatch their grapes, and I'd stop the crusher and be doing all sorts of illegal things, climbing around in the crusher just to save, you know, frill neck lizards and all sorts of things. So I had this box of frill neck lizards and whatever under my desk waiting for my lunch break so I could nip around the corner to the New York Corvettes and take the most free release them because it was just sort of this menagerie. So, yes, I got my own back with this piece. You cannot have any more lizards in the office. I forbid it. So I'm not going to stop doing that.
Yeah, right. Fantastic. That's good stories. And you'll have lots of fun after the hard work.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let us know when the wine's out and those other two projects that they're working on, the Pedro Jimenez and the Vermouth and stuff. That's all fun. So,
yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Good one. Well, enjoy your afternoon, Courtney.
You too. Thank you so much for having us on.
Thank you. See you.
Bye.